Welcome back, everybody, to Monday Night Learning. We are continuing with our series tonight on Birkas HaTorah. And we are going to, I promised you last week that we would get into the nuts and bolts of Birkas HaTorah. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to try to categorize what type of bracha Birkas HaTorah really is. And that we'll try to shed light on a number of practices that we do with Birkas HaTorah that's really related to the type of bracha that it is. So beginning, everybody should have a all Hebrew sheet if you need one. There's more over here next to Barry. So if I had to ask you, what type of bracha is Birkas HaTorah? Generally, when it comes to brachos, we have three different categories. You have Birkas HaNehenin, brachos that you make on benefits in the world, like before you eat or before you smell, nice smells. You have a second category called Birkos Shavach Vehoda, brachos that you make to praise Hashem for his wonders in the world. So when we say Shakocho Gvuraso Malay Olam, after hearing thunder, so that's a Birkos Shavach Vehoda. And the third one is Birkos HaMitzvah, a bracha that you make before you do a mitzvah. We're doing the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer every night. We say a bracha, Al Sfiras HaOmer. That's a Birkos HaMitzvah. So if I had to ask you, what type of bracha do you think Birkas HaTorah is? Into what category might it fall? What would you say?
Mitzvah.
Mitzvah. Barry says it should be a Birkas HaMitzvah. Why do you say that, Barry?
Because Torah study is a mitzvah.
Very good. So just like any other mitzvah, we should say a bracha before doing Torah study. Okay, very nice. I think that's correct. Now, the truth is that in source number two, the Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Chiel Michel Epstein, lived in the 1800s and wrote his classic Sefer Aruch HaShulchan, which was a commentary on all parts of Halacha. So he writes that, that in his belief, according to the Rambam, this is a Birkas HaMitzvah. Now the Rambam does not count this bracha as a part of the Taryag Mitzvos, as part of the 613 Mitzvos of the Torah. Why is that? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, in source number two, that Birkas HaTorah is included in a mitzvah that the Rambam counts. What mitzvah does the Rambam count in which this is included? Learning, exactly. And that makes perfect sense. If you think that the bracha is a bracha on learning, so you should count the bracha as part of the mitzvah to learn. Good. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Comes along the Ramban. Yes, Eitan.
So traditionally in a mitzvah bracha, the word classically,
yeah.
So obviously, you know, in the bracha we're talking about, it may be absent.
We're going to get to this, but we have many brachos in Birkas HaTorah, and the first one is Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvos HaTzivanu Lasok B'Divrei Torah, right? So maybe that's the one that we have in mind. I'll get back to that towards the end of the shiur, okay? So comes along the Ramban of Moshe Ben Nachman in source number one, and in his commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban challenged the Rambam on a number of mitzvos. The Rambam counted 613 mitzvos. The Ramban says that the Rambam counted some mitzvos incorrectly. Really, he should have counted other mitzvos and omitted some of the mitzvos that he did count. So one of the mitzvos that the Ramban thinks the Rambam should have counted is the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah. And let's read the words of the Ramban. They're such beautiful words, it's hard not to read them. Says the Ramban in source number one, Shenitztavinu lehodos l'shmo yisbarach b'chol eish shenikra b'torah. Every time that we read the Torah, we're obligated to praise Hashem. For what? Al hatova ha-gedola sha'asalanu besito toraso elenu. For the great good that Hashem did for us by giving us the Torah, v'hodi'inu ha-ma'asim ha-retzuyim lefanav, he let us know about the deeds that find favor before him, shebohem ninchal chai ha-olam haba, that with them we are going to inherit the world to come. And then the Ramban goes on and compares Birkas HaTorah to another bracha. And this harkens back to last week. Just as we make a bracha after eating, which we call Birkas HaMazon, so too we make a bracha on Torah. So according to the Ramban, do you think that Birkas HaTorah is a Birkas HaMitzvah? What type of bracha is Birkas HaMazon, most likely? Shavach, right? You're thanking Hashem for having given you the food that you ate. Huh? Not afterwards.
Well, I had enough. You have to have had enough to make Birkas
HaNehenin. Birkas HaNehenin usually comes beforehand. That's the bracha that you make on the food, right? The Boruch Yagafen. Okay, I'm not getting into Birkas HaMazon right now. We'll get it. Okay, fine. But what I think the Ramban is trying to say is that this is really a Birkas Shevach Ve'odah. We're saying Birkas HaTorah in order to praise Hashem for having given us the opportunity to learn. So far we have two different options as to how to categorize the bracha. According to the Rambam, the way that the Achronim explain the position of the Rambam, it's a Birkas HaMitzvah. According to the Ramban, it's a Birkas Shevach Ve'odah. And if you remember back to last week, the Levush, Rav Mordechai Yaffa, categorized the bracha as more of a Birkas HaNenin. That Torah study is supposed to be something that's joyous. It's supposed to bring us a spiritual benefit. And just as we make a bracha on a physical benefit, so too we make a bracha on a spiritual benefit. So says the Levush. So we've kind of hit all of our categories, checked all of our boxes. We started off with three different categories of brachos, and we said that there are different opinions that place Birkas HaTorah into one of these three. Now, are there any practical ramifications with respect to how you categorize the bracha? So I was learning, I had the pleasure of learning with Tzvi and with Yitz as we were getting ready for the shir, and I mentioned the Gemara and Brachos Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis and the discussion that ensues from there. So take a look at source number 4. Amar Yud Amar Shmuel, Hishkim Lishnos, if one gets up early in the morning in order to learn, Ad Shelo Kara Kriyashma Tzarech Levarich. Before he recites Kriyashma, he needs to say a bracha before learning. However, Misha Kara Kriyashma, if he didn't say Birkas HaTorah, just went straight into davening, he said Ahava Rabba, then Eino Tzarech Levarich, he no longer needs to say the bracha of Birkas HaTorah. Why? Shekvar Niftar Ba'ava Rabba. Because he's already exempt by saying the bracha of Ahava Rabba before Kriyashma. In Ahava Rabba, we have a very beautiful tefillah. V'ho'er inenu b'sorosecha, v'dabik libenu b'mitzvosecha, v'yachid ovenu l'ava l'yoshemecha, v'lo nevo she'olam v'oed. So that is considered like a Birkas HaTorah, where we're asking Hashem to enlighten us with his Torah. So if you didn't say Birkas HaTorah first, you can rely on Ahava Rabba. Maybe we'll talk more about that another week. The Balei HaTosfos, in source number 5, comment on this Gemara, and they discuss whether it's incumbent upon us to learn, to actually engage in the action of learning immediately after having said the bracha on learning. So say the Tosfos in source number 5, V'atzor Fatim, the French people. So who are the French? So Tosfos lived in Germany and France. The Balei HaTosfos, it was a whole school of Talmudic scholars. It wasn't one person. It was a whole school. They lived in the 1100s and the 1200s. And they lived across Germany and France. So V'atzor Fatim Nahagu Lomar Psukim Uberkas Kohanim V'gam Ilu Dvarim She'in Lehem Shiro She'i Mishna V'ilu Dvarim She'adam Ocho Perosem She'i Braisa. The French had the custom that right after, immediately after saying Birkas HaTorah, they would transition into Torah study. And what Torah study would they do? They would recite the Psukim of Birkas Kohanim, Yivarecha Hashem V'yishmerecha. Then they would say a Mishnah, Eilu Dvarim She'in Lahem Shior, Hapeah V'Abikurim V'Arayon V'Mulis Chasadim. And then they would say a Braisa, Eilu Dvarim She'adam Ocha Perosein Ba'olam Haza. So they hit, all the different types. They got Tanakh, they got Mishnah, and they got Gemara. All three, right after saying Birkas HaTorah. Now, that might sound familiar to us, right? Because we all do that? Okay. So, why did they do this? Mipnei ha-Yerushalmi, because there's a comment in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Deba'i she-Yilmod al-Atar, that one is required to learn al-Atar, on the place, which means juxtaposed to the bracha, you're obligated to learn. However, Tosos in Brachos concludes, Aval eino tzarich kemosha kosav tikvar. I don't believe this is actually technically necessary. It's a good thing to do, but not technically necessary. And the Shulchan Aruch in source number 7 quotes both opinions. It says, Yesh omrim she'im hifsik bim bikar satora l'nimudo in bekach klum. There are those who say that there's no problem to interrupt between the bracha and the mitzvah of learning. However, v'hanachon shelo lahafsik b'neim. The best thing to do is not to interrupt between them. V'chein noagu lomer parshas Birkas Kohanim samach l'Birkas HaTorah. And that's why we say the psukim of Yivarechecha right after saying Birkas HaTorah. So what is at the root of the debate between these two opinions? Whether you have to study right after reciting the bracha. What do you think? Let's put on our analytic caps for a second. Why would you say that you have to learn right after saying the bracha? And why might you say you don't have to learn right after saying? So let's start with the easy one. Why would you say you have to learn right afterwards? It's a mitzvah. Exactly. So says Michael, you have to learn right afterwards because it's a mitzvah. Just as you say, if you said the bracha of Sfiras HaOmer, yeah? Let's use that because it's the mitzvah we're doing now. Said the bracha of Sfiras HaOmer. Huh? You don't have to say it, but I'm saying like this. If you said the bracha, but you didn't count the day, okay? You waited until 2 hours later to count the day. Would the bracha count? Would the bracha register? No, of course not. It's null and void because there's a long delay between the bracha and the mitzvah. Whenever you do a bracha on a mitzvah, the mitzvah has to follow the bracha. And we are very, very makpid. We're very careful not to interrupt between the bracha and the mitzvah. Did we speak about, I'm not sure if we spoke about when it comes to bedikas chametz. So this is everybody's like favorite example. You say the bracha of al biur chametz and everyone goes, shh, don't talk, right? Because what do you have to do? You have to search a little bit. Because the bracha has to be juxtaposed to the mitzvah. And the mitzvah in that case is to search. So too, when it comes to Birkas HaTorah, maybe we should say that after saying the bracha, you have to learn right away. Now, what would be the svara? What would be the argument to say that it's not necessary to learn right after saying the bracha?
Well, there are no Birkas HaMitzvah in the Torah.
Good. Okay, let me come back to that point. Yeah?
All your actions throughout the day should be rooted in some sort of connection.
Ooh, nice. Okay, so actually the Beis Yosef in source number 6 says, like you, Aaron, that the reason, the reason why it's not a hefsek is because you're always obligated to learn. So the obligation persists throughout the day, and therefore it's always kind of like lurking in the background, and that's why. Yeah, it's a little difficult. Yeah, like you said it, right? But there was still some interruption in between. So I wanted to suggest... I'm agreeing with you. Right, I think it requires more explanation. So I wanted to go... I'm not going to address that question so much now, but I wanted to suggest an alternative, which is that if we look at Birkas HaTorah more as a Birkas Shevach Vehoda, and especially a type almost like Birkas HaShachar, isn't it interesting that we say Birkas HaTorah is part of Birkas HaShachar? Right, the Asher Nosan Asach Vivinu La'avchem Ben Yomuvin Laila. Before you get up to those brachos, you say Elokai Neshama, and you say Birkas HaTorah. So you integrate it, you incorporate it as part of Birkas HaShachar. So it makes our organization, our placement of it in davening, almost makes it seem that we're trying to say Birkas HaTorah as a daily bracha. The Rambam categorizes Birkas HaTorah as part of Hilchos Tefillah, very interestingly. So it's possible to look at Birkas HaTorah as a Birkas Shevach, a daily Birkas Shevach Ve'odah, something that each day a Jew has to reflect on. Every day we're obligated to reflect on the fact that Hashem gave us His Torah to study, and that we're lucky and fortunate to have it. And if that's the case, then maybe you don't have to actually learn right afterwards, because the point is that when a Jew wakes up, he or she thinks about the Torah and praises Hashem for having given it to us. So that might be one practical consequence or ramification between the different opinions as to how to categorize the bracha. Now, as we said, halacha l'maisa, we definitely try to learn right on the spot, and that's why we always say yivarechacha and the Mishnah and the Gemara. Okay. Now, so far, yes.
Just maybe this is getting too much for halacha l'maisa, but if you're, let's say, in a chabura before a shabbat, you would also say brachas Torah before, and you would also say the Yivarechacha and the Mishnah and the Gemara. So why are we still not bid on the pasuk, the Mishnah and the Gemara, even if you're about to say it in advance of not some of the Tefillah and immediately in advance of natural?
Good question. So first of all, technically, so Lazer's asking that if you're coming to our Mishnah Berurah Chabura at 6:40 in the morning before Shacharis, okay? And we're about to study Mishnah Berurah. We're going to learn Hilchos Birkas Kohanim. That's what we're up to nowadays. So why should you? So you come into shul, you say Birkas HaTorah, and then you're going right into learning. We're going to open up the Mechaber in Simin Kuf Chav Ches of Orachai. So why do you have to say the Psukim of Birkas Kohanim and the Mishnayos and the Mishnah of Eilu Dvarim? So technically, you don't. Technically, you're still Yotzei even if you learn Birkas Kohanim, the halachos of Birkas Kohanim. However, there might be a reason to specifically try to learn something from, you know, Tanakh, Mishnah, and Gemara, and we'll see why at the end of this year. Okay? Yeah, so that's another shiur. We're going to discuss on what type of learning do you have to say Birkas HaTorah. Okay, so we're going to hold off for that shiur. Okay, so up until now, we've said that Birkas HaTorah can fit into any of the three classical categories of brachos. Comes along Rav Dovi and asks an amazing question. Where else do we find that a Birkas HaMitzvah is part of a biblical obligation? You never find that across the board. There's a mitzvah of lulav. Does anybody say that part of the mitzvah of lulav is to say the bracha of al netilas lulav? Part of what the Torah had in mind when it told you to shake a lulav on sukkahs was that you should also say the bracha before doing that? No. The Torah had in mind to shake the lulav. The Rabbanan came along much later and told you that before you do the Torah's mitzvah, say a bracha. So why is the Ramban here, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, saying that the bracha on Torah is part of the very mitzvah to learn? How do we explain that? So let's hold off on that. And what I want to explore now is perhaps a fourth approach to what Birkas HaTorah really is, to how to characterize it. Maybe it's a unique bracha. Maybe it doesn't really fit into any of those three categories. And maybe after understanding that, we can come back to that question that Dovi asked on the Rambam. So in order to do this, let's study a very interesting halacha in source number 9, which is Nashim Mevarchos Birkas HaTorah. Both men and women say the bracha of Birkas HaTorah. Now, why is that of any chiddush? Why is that of novelty? Yeah? Okay. Is it a time-bound mitzvah? Is Torah a time-bound mitzvah? I don't know. Maybe it's not a time-bound mitzvah because it might depend how you formulate the mitzvah. Maybe if you think that you have to learn... it's a whole topic in and of itself. But if you think that the mitzvah is just to say, you know, just to say a pasuk once a day, still, I'm still not sure if it's time bound. I don't know. It's a daily mitzvah. I'm not sure if it's time bound.
Daily mitzvahs are time bound.
If you don't sleep,
then you don't say again. So it is some sort of time.
But that might not indicate that it's a time-bound mitzvah, but rather just that the bracha that you said is still live because you haven't yet slept, because there's no hefsek between the bracha that you said and the learning that you're now doing. But aside from it being a mitzvah, let's say she has my gama, a more basic point, which is that the Gemara in Kiddushin says that men have an obligation to study, women do not have an obligation to study, they're exempt from Torah study. They want to. We certainly welcome them, and that's why we're very lucky to have our the consistent women who come to our shiur. But they are not obligated to study, right? So the question becomes: if they're not obligated to study, not obligated to do the mitzvah, why are they obligated to say the bracha? That's the question. Okay. So there are some classical answers to this question. Take a look at source number 10 in the Bir Halacha. The Mishnah Berurah's lengthy commentary, he says, Hata'am, the ha-chayavos lilmod hadinim shelohem. You said that women are not obligated to study. It's not exactly true. They are obligated to study the laws that apply to them. Okay, so even if women are not obligated to study every single law in the Torah, women still are obligated to study the laws that do apply to them. So therefore, they would be obligated to say Birkas HaTorah before studying those laws. The ode, the chayeves lomer parshas hakorbanos, kemosha chayeves betfila, imkein koya bracha alze. In addition, so both men and women recite the section of korbanos every morning, ezehu mekoman, or the tamid, the parshas hatamid, vaydam rasham moshe limer tzavas bnei Israel, and that could also be the bracha takes effect on. So according to the Beis Yosef, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it's going to be very indicative of what type of bracha Birkas HaTorah is. according to the Beis Yosef's line of reasoning, we started off by saying, why are women obligated to say Birkas HaTorah if they're not obligated to study? Well, the whole premise of that question is that Birkas HaTorah is a Birkas HaMitzvah, right? They're not obligated in the mitzvah, so why should they be obligated to say this bracha every day? So the Beis Yosef says, oh, I'll find you a case where really they are obligated in the mitzvah, which is studying laws that apply to women. Fine. The Gra, and I'm not going to read this inside for time purposes, but the Bir Halacha quotes the Gra, and he said the Gra wasn't satisfied with that answer, and he said instead the Gra says, what are you bothering me for? If a woman decides to do a mitzvah that she's not obligated in, can she say a bracha? According to Ashkenazim, yes. So if women decide to take a lulav on Sukkis, you say al netilas lulav. Even though you're not obligated to do that mitzvah, you still can say the bracha according to Ashkenazim. So the Gra says so too. Torah is not obligatory. However, it's still considered a mitzvah, and therefore you could say the bracha. Good? Good. Dovi, you're mechavin to Reb Chaim's question, or to the question that bothered Reb Chaim. Turn to source number 12. This is going to be a very, very important source. Everybody to know this source. This is refrigerator material. Okay? People have already asked the question, why is it that women are obligated to say Birkas HaTorah if they're exempt from the mitzvah to learn? This is even more problematic according to the Rambam's opinion, because what do Svardim hold based on the Rambam? That if a woman does a mitzvah in which she's not obligated, she does not say the bracha prior to the mitzvah. So Sfaradim, I don't think we have Noam tonight, but Sfaradim do not say al netilas lulav if they perform the mitzvah of lulav. So according to the Rambam, we're still stuck because Torah is a mitzvah from which they're exempt. So why should women say the bracha beforehand? After all, when it comes to other mitzvahs from which they're exempt, they don't say the bracha. So now let's read it inside. Very, very important lines. And this is very reminiscent of what we spoke about last week. Second line. V'shamati mipi Adoni Avi Mori V'Rabi Hagon HaChasid Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha L'Chaye HaOlam Haba.
Amen.
Shalomai. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik said, this is Reb Chaim's son, the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchok Zev Halevi Soloveitchik. He quotes his father, Reb Chaim, as saying as follows. De Bebirkas HaTorah Ein HaBracha Al Kiyum HaMitzvah Shel Talmud Torah. The bracha that we say on the Torah is not on the fulfillment of the mitzvah. If it were on the fulfillment of the mitzvah, then according to the Rambam, just as women don't say a bracha on a fulfillment that they are not obligated to do, so too they wouldn't say it on Torah. Rak dehudin bifnei atzmo, de Torah ba'i bracha. According to Rab Chaim, Birkas HaTorah really is unique. It constitutes its own category. And what it is that whenever a person has an encounter with Divar Hashem, when a person has an encounter with Torah, that experience requires a bracha. Doesn't matter whether you're obligated or not. The Torah is the same Torah for men and for women. And therefore, both men, when men and women have that encounter, they have that experience with Divar Hashem that behooves them to first say a bracha. Uchadialfina la bebrachos tav chafalech mikra de kishem Hashem ekra vegomer. Laser, as you pointed out last week, kishem Hashem ekra. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, when I call out in the name of Hashem, you say praises. The name of Hashem here is being used as an allusion to the Torah. The Torah is the name of Hashem. The Torah is the will of God. It is the way that we encounter the Shekhinah. And if that's the case, that requires of us a bracha. Im kein ein zeh din sheshayach la hamitzvah klal. This bracha is not related to the strict and literal fulfillment of a mitzvah. Rak de Torah atzma, the entity of the Torah, to una bracha. That requires a bracha. V'noshim peturos rak me hamitzvah shel talmud Torah. It's true, women are exempt from the mitzvah, from the obligation to study. Aval einon mufkaos me etzem hachefza shel talmud Torah. The entity of Torah the experience of delving into the Torah that is equally applicable to both men and women. And therefore, explains Reb Chaim, that is why women say the bracha of Birkas HaTorah. So that whole discussion as to Nashim Mevarchos Birkas HaTorah is a beautiful springboard to explain this new, unique category called a bracha on a cheftza, on an item, on an entity, on an experience, on an encounter. That's the bracha of Birkas HaTorah. Now, this has very wide-ranging ramifications and explains a lot of anomalies when it comes to Birkas HaTorah. I'm running out of time, so we're going to go quickly through these next couple sources. The Gemara in source 13, Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis, quotes different Amoraim who tell us on what we recite the bracha of Birkas HaTorah. Amar Rav Huna lemikra tzarech levarich ulemedrish eno tzarech levarich. Rav Huna says you have to make the bracha on Tanakh, but not on Medrash. Hold on a second. Why not? Are you telling me that we're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah right now? Because we're not talking about Psukim? Because I'm quoting you a Gemara? Anybody who learns Daf Yomi, according to Rav Huna, is what? He's not fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Oh no, he does because there's Psukim in the Gemara. No, come on. What does Rav Huna have in mind? Why would Rav Huna say that you only have to say Birkas HaTorah on Tanakh, but not on other forms of Torah? So in source number 14, the Sefer Emek Bracha, Rab Aryeh Permanchik, he was a student of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, so he knew his Rebbe's approach to Talmud Torah, to Birkas HaTorah, and he explains, sorry for the false mat, for the small font, he explains in source number 14 that the reasoning for Rav Huna, who says that we make the Bracha only on Tanakh, can be very well understood based on Rab Chaim's approach. Rab Chaim's approach was that we say Birkas HaTorah when we have an encounter with Kishem Hashem Ekra, with the entity, with the Cheftza Shal Torah. According to Rav Huna, the only encounter that warrants or that requires that bracha is the encounter with the words of God themselves. The words of God are those contained in the Torah. Those contained in the Gemara are not the words of God. They are the laws of God, they are the precepts of God, the ideas, the will of God, but they are not the words. The words of the Torah are the words of God. And according to Rav Huna, it's that encounter with Shem Hashem that requires a bracha. If Birkas HaTorah were just a Birkas HaMitzvah, if it were just a bracha that we say before we do the mitzvah Torah, then it shouldn't matter whether I learn Tanakh, or whether I learn Gemara, or whether I learn Mishnah, or whether I learn Musar, it shouldn't matter. As long as what I'm doing is considered learning, then I should have to say the bracha. However, if I believe that Birkas HaTorah is this unique category on an encounter with Devar Hashem, so then I could justify why I would limit it specifically to the words of God themselves. Number two, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik points this out. Source number 15, the Rambam has a different text for the bracha on Torah than the one that we say. I was telling Eitan before that we say Asher Kedushanu Mitzvosav Etzivanu Lasok B'Divrei Torah. We praise Hashem, we make a bracha on a mitzvah to engage, to delve into the Torah. Lasok B'Divrei Torah. The Rambam in source number 15 has a different formulation. He says Al Divrei Torah. The bracha on the words of Torah. Wow. Chabad says Al Divrei Torah, like the Rambam. Perhaps the Rambam's formulation coheres very nicely with Rab Chaim's approach to the bracha. Because the bracha is not on the mitzvah. It's not on the person's understanding of the Torah. It's Al Divrei Torah. It's that right now I have Torah in front of me, that I'm about to study it, I'm about to have an encounter with it, that requires a bracha. I think this can also explain why there are so many different brachos for Birkas HaTorah. And this was something that Eitan was bothered by before, right? And Laser also, a little bit? No? Who? Maybe it was Dovi. I don't remember. Okay. But certainly Eitan. Okay. I'm not going crazy. Yeah. So there are three different brachos. Two or three different brachos. Number one, Lasok Divrei Torah. Number two, V'ha Revna. Number three, Asher Bachar Avonu Mikolo Amin. No other mitzvah in the Torah has multiple brachos like that. Sometimes you combine brachos on different parts, like you say a shachayanu together with a birkas hamitzvah, but those are two totally different things. Here we're making three brachos on one mitzvah. Why? And that's not my question. The Rishonim themselves were bothered by this. What's going on here? And if you think that this is just kind of like made up recently, no, it's in the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Aleph from Amaze. The Gemara says that we say these three brachos. Why do we have multiple brachos? I want to share with you two different approaches. The first one is going to be related to everything that we've said so far. The second one will add another point. So the first approach, let's see from the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor says that we have three brachos. Oh, Laser, because of your point about saying the psukim. I knew it was you. Okay, so I'll get back to that. The Gemara says, the Baal HaMor says, Baal HaMor was Rabbi Nuzrachya Halevi. He lived in Provence in the 1200s, I believe. And he wrote a commentary on the Rif. Okay, so the Baal HaMor says that the reason why we have three brachos is to correspond to three different areas of Torah. You have one bracha keneged corresponding to the written Torah, the written word. You have another bracha corresponding to the Mishnah, and another one corresponding to Medrash, or to the principles of derivation. Okay, the 13 principles of Rabbi Yishmael. The Ravid, who often attacks the Baal HaMor, the Ravid says in source number 17, I don't understand what you're talking about. It's all the same. It's all learning. Why do you have to make a separate bracha for this type of learning and that type of... It's all learning. Why are you making three separate brachos? So in light of what we developed from Reb Chaim, we can really understand. If each section of Torah has its own flavor to it, so to speak, Torah Shebichsav is the written word of God. Torah Shebaal Peh is the tradition, is the oral word passed down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua to the Zekenim. And even within Torah Shebaal Peh, we have different types. We have the bullet point halachos of the Mishnah, and we have the analysis of the Gemara. Each type takes on its own character as a chefta, as its own entity. And therefore, each entity warrants a separate bracha. That all works within Reb Chaim's perspective that Birkas HaTorah is really a bracha on the Chefta Shel Torah, on the entity of Torah. To end off, I want to suggest, and that might be Laser, why we specifically go out of our way to do Psukim and then a Mishnah and then a Braisa. Because what we're trying to do is saying we're correlating one bracha to each of these three different types.
Even though one of the three bracha we don't say all that often, we just say that, I think,
within
Aliyah, but we don't necessarily say
daily. Asher you say every morning also.
Oh, I see. So.
Yeah, you say all three every morning. Yeah.
Okay, so according to Reb Chaim, where he says that it's like, say the bracha on the experience, or when you're about to experience the Torah. So why didn't you say it all the time when you experience the Torah? Why wouldn't you?
Why once and then not the rest of the day?
Yeah, the whole
Hefsek
thing.
Let's say that, or like the Hefsek. It goes along with the Hefsek.
Right, I think it dovetails with that.
Why, according to him, wouldn't you say it all the time?
I think he also has to explain, according to the Hefsek rules, that really, like, the normal Hefsek rules don't apply to Torah. Either because Torah is always on the back of your mind, or because you're always obligated in it, and therefore there's always some type of tseruf, there's always some type of connection and relationship between the person and the Torah. But when you wake up anew each day, Baruch Hashem, so you have that new opportunity to renew that encounter.
I just feel like it's hard.
I hear. Yeah. Yes, Rabbi Mike. Beautiful, beautiful, Rabbi Mike. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. So just to end off very quickly with one last idea of why we have three different brachos. We started off by saying that the three brachos might fit into the three different classical categories of brachos. Birkas HaMitzvah, Birkas HaNe'anin, and Birkas Shavach Ve'odah. And it could be that each of the different texts of the brachos reflects one of those categories. So let's start from the beginning. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvos avetzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. What type of bracha is that? Birkas ha-mitzvah. Right? I'm making a bracha on the mitzvah that I'm doing, which is about to study. V'harev no Hashem alokeinu, as divrei sorosko, b'finu v'yamachob yisrael. What is v'harev no? Make it sweet. So what am I saying? A birkas ha-ne'enin. I'm about to engage in a joyous activity, and I want it to be as sweet as possible. And number three, Asher b'charbanu mikol ha'amim, I'm praising Hashem for having chosen us as his people and for having given us the opportunity to study. And that's essentially what the Torah and the Bach and the Aruch HaShulchan in sources number 18, 19, and 20 say. So now, when we come to Birkas HaTorah every morning and we're saying all of these brachos, we've been trained to say it since we were so little. But now we can reflect on the fact that it's very strange that we have multiple brachos for one mitzvah. And that what we're trying to do is all of the above. We're trying to say that, yes, we're about to engage in the most significant and pivotal mitzvah that we have on the books. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. There is no more important mitzvah than studying the will of God. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos avetzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. We realize, as we explained last week, that this is the most joyous activity that we can engage in. Being able to be in unison, to create that unity together with God. To have the Shekhinah with us as we study his word. What could be more joyous than that? The Harevna. And lastly, we thank Hashem for having given us the Torah to study. As the Ramban says, we're so fortunate to have that good of Asher b'charbanu mikol ha'amim. And the Torah says that bracha in specific is what we have in mind on Shavuos. When we celebrate Matan Torah, we rehash or, you know, we reenact Matan Torah and the receiving of the Torah, what we're having in mind is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us as his people to learn his Torah and to live it out. So let's have that in mind as we go forward with Birkas HaTorah leading up to Shavuos. Have a good night.